To a couple of places. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is where we've been studying on Wednesday night, and I want to read a verse here. And while you're turning there, I want to take just a moment to recognize our men that have been in service, our veterans, this being Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to preach on that a little bit. I don't want to, hope I don't disappoint you, but I don't really have a message like I usually have this morning. I'm going to just talk to you out of my heart about this subject of being in God's army. And so if you've been in the service, any branch, husbands, wives, we'd like for you to stand, please, right now. Some of them are not here this morning. If you'd stand, please, just remain standing now for a minute. If you've been in the service for any branch, amen. Just remain standing, fellas and ladies. Let's give these folks a big hand. Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you. Amen. Brother Moe's taught in Sunday school and done a tremendous job of telling us some of the sacrifices our men in uniform made for us. And during that generation, a lot of them were just chickens and run to Canada and burned a draft card. One of them was a chicken. One of them was a chicken that he joined another religion and changed his name. And you know what he did for a living? Fight. He was a fighter for a living, but was chicken to go to war and changed his own name, and the devil used him to convert thousands and tens of thousands of people to Islam. And that's old Cassius Clay is who I'm talking about, if you're wondering. And I tell you, I thank God for men who are willing to go. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a sacrifice. Yeah, I admire them. And so this morning, I want to talk about being in God's army. When you got saved, God put you in His army. I've never been in the military, the United States military, but let me tell you, I've been in this one for a while. And I don't know, there's a lot of similarities. You say, well, you can get killed in that real. Yeah, you can get killed in this one too. A lot of them have, and still are. A lot of God's people in the world today are still losing their lives for the cause of Christ. Over in Sudan, they're killing by the tens of thousands just because they're Christians. And just because me and you get to live in a continual boot camp and recess a lot of time, don't mean that we're not seeing God's people fight battles all over this world. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse number 8. We took this verse Wednesday night and gave you the literal meaning of it. It's talking about dying. Everybody's got to die. But I'm going to use part in a symbolic sense, spiritual sense. Verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. When you're in that army, you never get out. The war is not over. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse, I'm sorry, 8 and verse 8. 8:8. I was testing you there. No, I'm sorry. My bad. I had 7 wrote down over here. 8:8. There is no discharge in that war. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'm going to give you a little testimony this morning about being a soldier. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I have been in the Lord's army since I was 18 and signed up for full-time lifetime service when I was 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 7. Who goeth a warfare anytime as his own charges? That means them men in Iraq over there that are fighting this morning, they don't have to get them a job and pay their own bills. We pay for them to go. We support them. We feed them. We buy them tanks and guns and ammunition. I mean, a man going to give his life to go to the war, it's up to the rest of the government and the country to take care of him, his physical needs while he's there. That's what that means. Who goes a warfare at his own charges? Nobody. Who plants a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith He it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth, that's what I'm doing this morning, should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now that's a verse that the Apostle Paul was using to talk about those in the ministry reaping carnal things for sowing spiritual things. But I want us to look back at verse number 7, where he talked about the warfare and the government would support them. I'm going to give you a little personal testimony this morning. I don't have an outline. I don't have points like I usually do. I'm just going to give you a little personal testimony of how that I've been in God's army since I was 19, and the Lord has took care of me. He's took care of me through thick and thin. He's took care of me through up and down. And the reason I'm doing this is for all the young people in here. I want to tell you this morning, you can trust the Lord Jesus. He'll be there for you. He will. I'm telling you, He'll be there for you. I know we're living in a crazy time of atheism. We're living in a time when they're trying to equate Christianity and other religion in the world on TV and trying to apologize to the Muslims and make them feel good so they won't bomb us no more and everything like that. But I'm telling you, you can trust the Lord. When I first started preaching, I've seen some hard days. I've seen some hard days since. I've seen some hard days this year. And the hard days ain't always the same. But I can tell you, God's always took care of me. You men that stood here a minute ago, didn't we make sure that you guys always had food when you were in the service? You always had equipment. You always had whatever you needed. I mean, maybe you didn't have everything you needed, but when it really come right down to it, the government of the United States made sure that our men in uniform were taken care of. And you know, the Lord is making us that same promise. He said, if you will go, if you'll fight the battles in my name, then I am going to take care of you. He'll take care of us. Just like the government took care of you men in uniform, God has taken care of me. And God will take care of you. You remember that verse of Scripture that said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach every creature, baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you'll go do what I want done in this world, I am with you and I'll take care of you. I'm telling you, he's took care of me. I have never missed one meal since I started preaching unless I was fasting and did it on purpose. I have never not had nothing to eat. I've had to hint around a few times. I have claimed the lost, left my billfold at home. No, I'm just kidding. I've hinted around a few times, but I have never really done without. Never have. God's took care of me. I remember when I first started preaching. I remember that years and years ago. I mean, when I was probably about 20 years of age when this happened. Maybe 21. I was already preaching revival meetings in little country churches up where that girl sang. I mean, I know when she got up here and sang, some of y'all were saying, she's from New York? Not really. She's from Burnsville. But she's been in New York for quite a while. Is that what it is? Amen, brother. It sure is. Ain't no doubt about that. But anyway, I used to preach up in there where she's from and all in these little churches. And I remember one time we had the coldest weather, I mean, the late 70s that had been in like 100 years. And I'm telling you, it got so cold. I lived in a little bitty house in Nebo, had a wife and a baby about 3 years old. And buddy, I'm telling you, it got so cold in our house that all the pipes froze, all the pipes underneath the water, got up in the morning, had no water. And I remember it was so cold that I don't know if you've ever done this, but we hung a blanket over the kitchen so that wasn't no use in heating the kitchen, you know, because we had a little bedroom there and a bedroom there and a bedroom here. That's it. The bedroom. And I mean, we had carrying a little old baby bed. And it got so cold in the house that I remember going in there in the kitchen and there was water in the sink froze inside the house. And I had an old van that I used to go preach on top of. And I had that old van, and I'm telling you, that old van wouldn't start. And I had to preach a revival way on the other side of Gastonia. And Gastonia back then seemed like going to Florida. I mean, that was a long way back then. I can run to Gastonia now. We didn't have all the roads like we got now. I mean, you couldn't shoot down there and go down 321. You had to go all the way down 226 from Marion, two-lane road, all the way, and it took forever. And it took me about 2 hours to get on the other side of Gastonia. And I remember I had no water in my house. And I called the man that was renting a little old house from, wasn't paying him but $15 a month. For the house, just to pay the light bill. That's all he'd give it to us. And I said, we ain't got no water. And we had no water all day long. Couldn't take a shower. Couldn't fix nothing to eat. And I had to preach that night. And I was 21 years old. Barely had enough money. Had to borrow some money to put gas in that van. And when it got time to go, the van would not start. And I remember going out there pushing that van. My hand was freezing. And the whole time I'm thinking, I should be preparing to preach. I should be because when you're a young preacher, you want to preach these great, wonderful messages that's going to convert the world. And all you think about is your preparation. And really, you're just trying to impress people with yourself. You know, you got a lot of self in there. And the Lord has to knock that out of you as the years go by. I don't know if He ever knocks all that self out of us. But you got a lot in it when you first start. You got a lot in you. And I thought, I got to prepare, and I got to prepare. And the pipes are busted, and my van won't start. And I remember pushing that van down the driveway. It had a little slope on it like that. And finally got it going. I said, keep it running. And let it run. Borrowed $3 or $4 for gas, and headed out to Gastonia. Now, I remember doing that over and over and over and over. But you know what? The Lord took care of me. The Lord was always there. I mean, and it felt so good when I stood up and preached. And I didn't even have any time to prepare. But when I stood and preached, it felt like I could feel His hand on me. I mean, it felt like God was standing right beside me. And buddy, I mean, I didn't have much, but I went home a happy little boy. I'm telling you. I drove up the road and I thought, glory to God, it feels good to know Your presence. I mean, I was about ready to blow my brain out before church, but on the way home I could rejoice. I remember feeling that many times, going up in the mountains preaching, and over all years and years ago, going up in the mountain preaching, I never couldn't find the church, didn't know where it was, and that was before they put their little green signs up on every road. And, I mean, it was go to that big third big tree that's got a limb on it that hangs over like that, and turn up that little road, and the third driveway on the left, go right past it and turn right. And I just pray and say, God, I don't even know if You know where this place is. Would You please show me? And I'd drive around a little bit and drive around, and I said, this can't be right. I'll just turn around right here, and there would be the church. That happened over and over and over and over. I'm telling you people, the Lord has took care of me. As I've been trying to fight His battles and trying to stand for Him, I've seen miracle after miracle. I could talk to you all day. Somebody said, Brother Danny, won't you write a book? I said, what about? And they said, your life. And I said, well, if I wait till I'm right before I'm ready to die, and then I'm going to write it all and tell the whole truth, and brother, and I'm going to write it in there, the names and characters have been changed to protect the guilty. And then, brother, and I will write one of these days, so Lord, help me. I don't like to write, so I put it on tape and let Sean type it. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. God has been good to me. I'm telling you, I've seen Him take... Me and these boys used to go street preaching. And I can tell you story after story after story. You guys up here, y'all just don't know what an opportunity you've got. Young men, get you a Bible. Get you a handful of tracts. And just go out from a shopping center or somewhere. And you can have some of the best time. One time we went up to Tennessee to preach. And I was up near Bristol, Tennessee. And we was up there. And we didn't go ask... Was it all right? Was there a city? We just said, Lord, You put it on our heart. And that's exactly what we did. We hauled up and preached. And I had a ladder on the side of that van. You climb up on the side of it. And on the back of my van, I had, Jesus is coming soon. We didn't fool no bumper stickers. We wasn't compromisers. Had little bitty bumper stickers. Bless God, we had letters that big on our cars. And that big old letter said, Jesus is coming soon. repent now. And I remember got on top of that pan and we was a preaching. I mean, we preached our heads off. I mean, we had the office time ever was. And about that time, somebody come out of a Radio Shack store and said, "Hey, listen, we's in there in the Radio Shack working, and it come on the scanner. The cops are on their way to arrest you fellas right now." And they said, "Oh, Lord, are they?" They said, "That's right. They're coming. They called them on you. They're coming to get you right now." And God had a Christian in that Radio Shack that intercepted that message and heard us. Amen? I wish that Christian had been there the other day when I got caught for running that stop sign over at the new church. But anyway, I guess preaching and running a stop sign through everything, ain't it? He pulled me, I was coming out of the new church over there, and he said, "You run that stop sign back there." I said, "I'm the preacher, and we've been out here working on the new church." He said, "You're the preacher of that church?" I said, "Do you see my face on that sign out there?" "Yeah, I did see that." And he let me go. He is a nice man. But anyway, I'm telling you what, brother, we was up there and we was a preacher. He said, "The cops is coming." And one of them said, "Listen, you guys follow me." I mean, it was like in the movies. We took off, boy, we went up there and followed that fellow around, followed him. And he took us to a Christian girls' home or boys' home or something where they kept young people that had been in trouble. I don't know where it was, but they took us in there and fed us a big dinner and treated us right. And I went down the road and I'm thinking, isn't that just like Jesus? It sure was sweet of him, like the song said. It was sure sweet of Jesus to take care of a bunch of old street preachers like us. I've seen it happen over in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was up on top of that band preaching one time, and this guy coming out starts snapping pictures. Next day it was on the front page of the Knoxville paper. And it said, "Street preacher from North Carolina had a big write-up on me, had my testimony, had a witness in there, witnessed to probably hundreds of thousands of people over and over and over and over." One time I was preaching on the street in Hendersonville. Me and some boys went over there, and I was preaching like this. We didn't ask then either. And we always thought, well, if the Lord told us to preach, we don't supposed to ask. And we got up there, and I started preaching. About that time, I saw a cop. He was coming toward me like this right here. I mean, he was coming to get me, and I'm telling you, about that time, I thought, well, if I quit preaching before the Lord wants me to, I'm a hypocrite. So I'm not going to quit. Lord, I'm going to preach. And about that time, this old woman pulled in there, and there was a no parking sign right there. And she pulled in there and was looking around like that, and that cop went over and said, "Ma'am, you cannot park here. You can't park here." She said, "Well, officer, blah, blah," and she started arguing with that cop. And he forgot all about me preaching there. And I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, and that thing, she's like that girl pulled up and she said, he said, "You can't park here." She said, "Right there's a sign that said, fine for parking." I mean, she fussed at him and fussed at him and fussed at him. And the Lord said, "Keep preaching, son. I'm delivering you." And I got through preaching, closed my Bible, and went on down the road. I'm telling you, who goeth to warfare any time in his own charges? It's the Lord that took care of me. Listen, I know people that you can't explain me no other way. I ain't even supposed to be here. I ain't even supposed to be standing up. The only explanation for Brother Danny is, somebody, somewhere is looking after him, taking care of it. I mean, here I am this morning, still saved, still on my way to glory, still preaching the King James Bible, still got the glory of God in my life. That ain't supposed to happen. But thank God, it's my commander-in-chief taking care of me in God's army. Amen. I preached in Marion one time before they got air conditioning in the courthouse. And I was preaching, trying to fight the battles of the Lord. And I preached up there, and it was deader than 4 o'clock. We used to preach up there on Courthouse Lawn all the time, and sometimes we'd just go during the week, and there wasn't nobody uptown. Maybe 1 or 2 cars go by while he's preaching. And I preached, and I got out there, and I said, "The Bible says Jesus is coming soon. Repent." That's how come I scream and holler so loud in church. I got in the habit of doing it out there, and you just figure out one way to preach, and that's all the only way you can do it. So I preached and I screamed and hollered, and about 3 days later, this honest truth, somebody came up to me and they said, "What'd that cop do with you the other day?" I said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "That cop that come down there to get you when you was preaching Tuesday out there." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about. Ain't no cop said nothing to me." They said, "Well, I was in the courthouse. They have them big old windows open. They was having a murder trial in Marion honest to goodness, as having a murder trial, and all them big windows open for there, and it was so quiet in there. And he said, we could hear every word that you were saying. I mean, I thought there wasn't nobody listening. He said, you was down there screaming, Jesus is coming, repent, prepare to meet God. And he said, the judge stopped him and said, somebody go down there and tell that guy to shut up. So the cop, by this time, I've done folded up my Bible and left. That's truth, people. And I remember I went home, and I thought, the Lord done took care of me again, boy. But before he went to prison, some old murder fella heard a good message on Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, listen, this thing is supernatural. We're in the battles of the Lord. We're in the battles of the Lord. Years ago, me and a couple of friends took a mission trip to Haiti. Haiti is what I call it. So like Hades to me. And I'm telling you what, brother, you talk about a shock. When we landed in Haiti, has anybody in here ever been to Haiti, the country of Haiti? I'm telling you, it's awful. It's awful. I mean, the national religion of Haiti is voodoo and Catholicism. You say, how can it be both? Catholicism can adapt to whatever's around it just to keep the people involved in it. It can just like one of them little lizards, chameleons or whatever them things are, change colors. It can adopt. So Catholicism and voodoo is the national religion of Haiti. I've never seen such a messed up place in my life. They don't have no red lights. I hate red lights, but I'm glad we got them. Listen, I think you ought to be able to go left on red if ain't nothing coming. And you ought to be able to go straight on red if ain't nothing coming. Well, that's just my opinion. You can stop if ain't nothing coming. That's crazy. But you're holding up traffic. But anyway, so really I don't guess there's no use in having them if you can go either way. But if there's something coming, the red lights and goes down there, brother, it's pigs and chickens and people. It'd be like trying to drop a car right through the middle of this crowd right here. And you're going, beep! Beep! And there's people all around. We got out there, and I'm telling you, I was scared. And they took us out in the jungle one night, and they said, we're going out here to a place. They said, these people have never even seen a white person's face. I said, oh my soul. I heard all these stories about witch doctors and people cutting your heads off and eating you and cannibals and stuff. I said, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Man, I'm telling you, North Carolina seemed like it was 100 million miles away then. You get a weird feeling when you're in another country. I don't know how to explain it. It seemed like when you're here, you know, we got Snickers bars and milk and you know, just regular stuff, ice cream and stuff. You go to another country, everything's different. And they told us, they said, don't even drink water. I said, well, what are we supposed to drink? Said, well, you can drink the water there at the motel. It's got purified. If you drink this water out here these people drink, you'll get sick and maybe die. I said, how come they don't get sick and die? They said, well, they build up immunity to it, and it don't hurt them. We had a big meal at the motel. They brought us a big supper. They brought us something that looked like a little piece of steak about that big. I ate one bite of it, and it had I said, this steak's got a twang to it, boys. it tasted like it. And I said, what is this? The lady said, goat. I said, what? She said, goat. I said, what? Goat. G-O-A-T. Goat. Now, I've eaten mud turtle. Tasted it. But I ain't never ate a goat. I didn't know you could eat a goat. Well, I'm starving. I ate it anyway. They look like pork chop. But that thing was a goat, man. And we got out there, and you could hear these. You could hear these going, though. Boom, 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 boom. Just like on Tarzan movies. I mean, you could hear these drums way out there. And I thought, oh, Lord. We got up. There was people sitting around with rags over their head, leaned up against trees. And they said, what's wrong with them? They said, they're in a trance. They was demon-possessed. Control. With rags all over their head, just sitting out there, out of it. Didn't even know where they was. And we got out there, and I could hear them drums beating. And I'm telling you, we went out there, they said, now, we had a little outside service. For some reason, I felt the Lord's presence, and I thought the Lord's with me. You know, what a way to go, man. Everybody back home would think, poor old Brother Danny got killed in Haiti. But I remember, we was out there, and they said, that tree right over there, they prayed to a big old oak tree, that tree has a curse on it. They said, if anybody touches that tree, they die. And these people were scared to go around that tree. It was like marked up around it and everything. I never wanted to touch a tree so bad in my life. I thought, I'm going to go over and touch that. You know what? What makes a person like that? That's crazy, ain't it? I said, I'm going to go touch it and see what happens. I thought, well, maybe I better not touch that thing. Man, I was dying to touch that tree. But anyway, we got going down the road. I got a bunch of stories I can tell you, but we got going down the road. And this guy, it wasn't his car. He was a national, and you could tell he wasn't used to driving. Little old bitty car. Him and another buddy was sitting in the front seat. Me and Paige Gibbs, many of y'all know Paige, my man, was sitting in the back. They're here. And we're sitting in the back seat, and we was going out there, and we was flying. And we was going around curves like this, and there ain't no middle of the road where you stay on your side, and this car comes this way, you just go this. And I told Pam, I said, we're going to wreck. I said, I'm telling you, brother, this thing, he can't drive. This man don't know what he's doing. He wasn't even used to drive when he's supposed to be driving. You couldn't have, here's the way he talked. Did you do that? That's the way he sounded when he talked. I ain't kidding you. I said, Lord. And we went around the curve and went flying. And I told Paige, I told him, I said, brother, we're going to wreck. I said, we're going to wreck. I could see. And as a car coming flying around through there, I could see we was going to hit him head on. I mean, I put my head down like this and brake. I seen we was going to hit, and I went down like that. Pow! Sure enough, brother, we plowed into that thing head on. Glass, I mean, blood splattering everywhere. The guy driving the car, I thought it killed him. He's laying out there. He could not move. It hurt his back real bad. Me and Paige was out there. We was surrounded. It wasn't just a minute till I bet you there's 200 people surrounded ever around us, and every one of them was talking just like I was talking to him a minute ago. Blah, 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 blah. I kept thinking, I said, Lord have mercy, what are we going to do now? We're out here. I don't even know where we're at. We've had a wreck, man bleeding to death, and I was fine because I got down behind the seat like that, and it jarred me like that, but I knew he was going to have a wreck. And me and him got out and said, Lord, what do we do, brother? I said, do they have ambulances here? What are you doing when somebody have a wreck? And they stood around. I thought the guy was going to bleed to death. And in a few minutes, here come this thing along that looked like a trolley car. You ever seen them trolleys in Gatlinburg? That's what it looked like. It's open, it's like a wagon, had a motor on it, and it's like a wagon that's empty all the way where you can hang your arms out of it. You know, it's like open on the sides. That was our ambulance. And they pulled that thing in there, couldn't get through the crowd. People pushed back like that, and they just picked that fella up and set him in there. And I mean, he was in pain. His back, I don't know if he ever got all right. And we sat in there, and we sat in there and rode that thing. It seemed like from here to Marion. That's what it seemed like. We sat in there and thought, I have no idea where we're going, how we're going to get back to where we're staying. Nobody, I don't know these people. And me and Paige said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, brother. And we went to the hospital, and honest to goodness, folks, their hospital looked worse. It looked worse than our veterinarian clinics do. This little stalls made out of block, and there was people laying on them beds in there. No anesthetic, no kind of way to numb you up. Not, if they just cut you, they cut you. I don't know what they give you, just keep you from hurting so bad. And I remember thinking, Lord have mercy. Thank God that we live in America. Amen. Thank God you live in this country. Amen. I think Sean Penn and all them actors in Hollywood and everyone that hate our country and hate our government and hate our stand for our sovereignty in America ought to just move to wherever they want to live, brother. Let them move to Russia if that's how they believe. Yeah. Go join the UN and die.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ought to thank God for America. Amen. And that ain't the end of the story. I'm telling you, brother, before we got... That was a rented car. Somebody got it and everything. And then they said the president, the governor, was going to investigate that wreck and find out what caused it, and we may not be able to leave the country. I said, we're leaving the country. They said, Brother Danny? Paige said, hey, some guy could interpret for us. And they said, you guys may not be able to leave the country. I said, we're leaving this country. They said, they won't let you get on an airplane. Man, I was scared to death. I thought, my soul. And I prayed. And I said, dear Lord, this ain't a bit fun. I said, I want out of here. I said, please, you'll take me back to Hoppy Tom. I'll never complain again. And I'm telling you what, when we got on that plane, until that plane took off, I was nervous. And man, when that thing got in that air, and we started headed toward this country, I started thinking, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bro, we landed down there in Charlotte somewhere. Boy, it felt so good to put your foot back on the United States of America. And I'm telling you, God took care of us. I could go on and on and on this morning. I'm going to stop. But I'm telling you, the Lord took care of me through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. His grace that brought me safe thus far. God's grace will lead me home.
Amen.
Lord, I've told y'all a bunch of stories before. There's some of them on here I ain't never told you. I just was thinking about them. I was thinking about that time. I was over in Tennessee, and I was always taught that when you went somewhere to preach, you took what they give you. I got some of these preachers nowadays got so big shoddy, they think they got to have the best motel. I had one of them tell me, if they don't put me in a nice motel, I ain't going. Oh, well, remind me never to invite you to our church, buddy. Who you think you are? Caesar or somebody? King of Siberia or something, brother? Listen, we're God's men. We're servants. We don't have to be treated like kings. I think we treat preachers nice when we come here. I think you ought to. But I don't think a preacher ought to ever say, well, if I don't get this and if I don't get that. That ain't the way a soldier does. A soldier goes and fights the battles, takes what he gets, and keeps his mouth shut. And so I went to preach over in Tennessee at a youth camp. You've heard me tell this. They put me out in a little trailer. They put me one up at Allen Ryman's one time when I first went there alone here that wall. I didn't have no car and snow on the ground. I like to froze to death. No phone, no car, nothing. I'm telling you, couldn't get up, go to the store or nothing. But they put me in this one. It was real hot. It was a little trailer. One of them little trailers where if you walk this way, the whole thing sort of goes this way. Looked like Lucy and Ricky's looked like a bullet, silver. You know, it looked like a big bullet. Like a little UFO. And I'd walk back this way and go that way. I'm telling you, the bathroom was so little. My brother, I don't know who designs them things. Japanese or somebody. But you had to open the bathroom door and just back right in there and sit down. Some of you, I'm telling you, you would have never made it. Most of you would have never made it. It's hard for me to get in there, little as I am. And I'm telling you, buddy, that thing, I got in there. I laid down to go to sleep. And I felt something crawling around my ear. I kept you know and everything. And I pulled it out. And it was a tick. And so I was stupid tick. I hate ticks. Throw them in the commode. You know. And a little bit later, I felt another one. There was ticks in my bed, brother. And I remember Brother Ed saying, take what they give you. Shut up. Don't complain. Don't complain. Although I'm a soldier. I'm not a Prince William. I'm a soldier in God's army. We got this thing wrong, you know it? Brother, we ain't celebrities. We're on enemy territory, fighting the battles of God and the Lord Jesus. We've made celebrities out of Christians nowadays, and it ain't time for that yet. Time for that's a millennium, eternity. But I remember I stuck my fingers in my ears because I didn't want to complain. And I thought, if I can keep them out of my ears, I'll be all right. I didn't give none of them time to get big and fat. You know, if they start getting big and fat on you, buddy, they're getting your blood. Like that little old boy said, his mama said, boy, what are you doing in that basement? He said, eating grapes. She said, where are you getting them grapes? He said, off the dough. That's the way I felt. But man, them things, I slept with my fingers in my ears. But it ain't been all like that. I've seen some of my comrades get slain in battle. I started out preaching, there's about 15 of us. I think out of that group, there's about 3 or 4 left. Casualties.
Yeah.
Casualties.
Amen.
Divorce got them. Financial problems got them. Physical problems got them. One of the biggest ways people get knocked out of church is get your feelings hurt at church or have a big church fight or a split or go through a divorce. Man, I've been through all that and more. But God's took care of me in the battle. And I praise Him for it. On this Memorial Day, I want to just thank Him. for letting me be a little soldier. I'm just a little bitty soldier. But I is one. Amen. And I know some of them old boys like Paul Hout come home. Come on, Miss Destin, get ready to play something for us. I remember them old boys like Paul Hout come home with a bullet through his hip. His hip ain't never been right since. I remember visiting them over in VA hospital in Asheville where they're walking like this. There ain't no shame in that. There ain't no shame in that at all. They've done that for our country. Amen? So you can run around out here and play football, boys. They're limping. They're limping. And I'm telling you, when I go through the pearly gates, you might see me. I might be on crutches. I might have a wheelchair. I don't know. But I'm going to get to go in like that. Well, here he comes. He got shot in battle. He's wounded. But yeah, I won't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter. So quit feeling sorry for yourself this morning. Hey, some of them had it a lot worse than you're having it. And get back in. I see people all the time. They say, I hear people all the time say, well, I used to go to church and I hurt my feelings. I used to go to church and my wife left me. I used to go to church and I got fired from my job. I figured if God wasn't going to take care of me no better than that, No. The old song says, must I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought through bloody skies and sail through bloody seas. I mean, we ain't no better than our forefathers. If they had it rough, we can have it rough. But let's get in the Lord's army this morning. Let's stand this morning. But Jason, come on. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, God, that you'd help us on this Memorial Day weekend to re-enlist.